This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Presents Football Friday.
Nix from the shotgun takes a snap. Can run if he wants to. Nix to the five. Nix to the goal line. Touchdown, Denver. Their first lead over the Bengals, 6-3.
Sarka design rollout. Finds his tight end. That'll be a touchdown. Bruin Fleischman. Air Force answers a wonderful drive by White with a wonderful drive of their own.
CSU didn't have any highlights, so...
It's going to be Miller again, keeps it, plows his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffaloes!
Yeah, ESPN didn't actually call Wyoming's only touchdown, so here's this.
Two really important players for a Wyoming team that doesn't have a ton of big-time weapons on offense. And now playing from behind, wide open across the middle. One of those tight ends, and what a move! Forget what I said about no weapons. That's Evan Svoboda, who last year was the starting quarterback.
Now R.J. Harvey, the outside of two left, resets to the left of Nix. He catches wide open, swing pass, walks into the end zone. The easiest touchdown of the early season. Nix to Harvey. Touchdown, Denver.
All right, welcome back into a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. And we still got a lot coming up, man. We got the Rocky Mountain College kickoff starting at 2 o'clock, and we're going to look at all the rest of these games, get the other dudes' opinions on these battles. We've got Mike Danson with himself, the dude down the hall, and Tanner Schwint. How are you guys?
I'm good. I'm trying to recover from the trip to Ireland.
Just
kind of getting back into the groove of things here.
God, it's rough being you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How long were you there, Mike?
We were there for 6 days.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your favorite part other than, you know, watching some football?
The game was fun. I think the people was the best part. I was telling these guys we were kind of bouncing around from pub to pub to pub, and then we had a tour we were going to go take, and we were working our way back towards that, and a guy comes out and he goes, "You guys here for the match?" And I can't do an Irish accent, so I'm not going to try.
It's offensive.
And we're like, "Yeah, where are you guys from?" "Well, we're from Colorado." He goes, "Let's go to this pub. I'll buy you guys a drink." And we're like, "Okay, like, yeah."
Friendly people.
Oh man, everybody was friendly. And
what else did you guys do? Did you go like on any other?
Yeah, we took the train out of town and kind of bounced around. The one day that I was going to try, we were going to go try to play a pitch and putt course. Was the only day it rained, so I didn't get to do any golfing. We went to some castles, which like actual castles.
That's
not
cool.
Like something we talk about here as a castle. Lots of beer drinking, lots of whiskey drinking.
And some football in between.
Yep, and some football in between. So
not a bad trip at all. Derbs, Tanner, I know you guys were here, so yeah. I don't really have any questions for you guys.
I'd like to see a castle once.
It would be
Sounds
cool.
fun.
I think it would be fun.
We don't have castles, but we do have a roadhouse.
We do. We do have a roadhouse.
Why are you the way?
Roadhouse. I've got 2 more hours.
If you have a little bit of time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so one of the castles, they have a, it's called a kill hole at the castle. And this is a spot where, like, the drawbridge... This one actually had a moat around it, and if the wall is up or if the wall's down and they're trying to get to the door, it's a hole in the ground from above where they would dump, like, hot oil through this hole onto the people trying to break through the door. It was, that's a pretty crazy thing to look at.
I've seen those, like, on movies and stuff, but you always wonder, like, how real are, like, pretty brutal. But you got to do what you can to defend the castle.
Yep.
Tanner knows that all too well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To defend the castle.
The castle.
Mike.
Stop. You have been, he has been in the weirdest mood I've ever
seen.
Well, after
he cut up the hamburger with his finger.
I am so tired. I am very tired.
I just appreciate that he had the hamburger, and instead of just devouring it, he cut it up.
Who ate the
fourth part? I did.
Oh, okay.
Because in fairness, I got the small piece, and it was pretty mangled. There was no bread on it.
Is this another burrito incident? Do we have a burrito incident with Brady now?
Well, wait, who was wanting the fourth part?
Oh.
You had a food. You had food.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Derbs and I weren't involved in the delicious steak eating and hamburgers and all that.
I take it all back. You did a fine thing.
Thank you. Mike, who's leading on the quarterback toilet bowl?
Yeah, so after week three without it last week, Brady, you are the leader right now with a 25.43 average QBR for the season. Tanner is in second with 38.7. Derbs, you're in third with 41.6, and I am bringing up the rear here at 54.7.
Now, are these the picks, or is this Tanner's career quarterback rating?
Well, which one?
That's, yeah, that hurt a lot. I'm still so hung up on my high school football days.
You do mention them quite a bit.
Well, I was an All-State quarterback, though. I'm going to mention it. Right,
I forgot you played
pretty
football.
Good.
I thought you were more of like tennis and stuff like that.
But. No.
Faith said the CSU didn't have any highlights part is sports comedy gold. Just encouraging this.
And the truth.
It actually was pretty good.
Mike, you created this segment for us.
Yes, I
and
did.
And you're struggling. And
I am struggling. Bryce Young is the one that's killing me at this point. He's had one good game, and it was the week that I picked him. The week the Carolina Panthers decided to play the football game and beat the Falcons 30-0 that week. So that one's kind of killing me right now.
Well, what's going to be interesting is as we progress here, you're going to have to get to a point where you're not picking the worst quarterbacks because not everybody in the league is terrible, even though Shedeur Sanders thinks that more than half of them are terrible. At some point, you're going to have to pick a good quarterback. You're just going to have to look at a matchup.
Yeah, that's when it's going to get fun and things are really going to change. So I'm not too worried being behind this much early. But
it's early.
Yeah, hopefully I can do better this week.
And again, a reminder, though, the loser, we get to go to the thrift store and pick out an outfit for the loser to wear to Big City Roadhouse, and then they will buy us beer and food.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Pretty good so far.
Gonna, yeah.
So, am I involved? Yeah. Do I get some of the food?
No.
If you can wear whatever the loser has to wear, then you can go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I already have the thrift store top.
I thought, no. Well, to be fair, that's where he gets all his clothes.
Is that a blouse? You have a...
No, not a blouse. It's like a little shirt thing.
Who calls it a top?
It's hard to describe. You guys love it.
Man, I called a pullover a cardigan once, and I got bullied into oblivion out of the golf course. Yeah,
that still comes up on the golf course.
It sure does. It's just a pullover. I'm like, going to take my cardigan off, and I got called a couple slurs that you're not supposed to say out there.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on from that. how are we doing the picks then, Mike?
Yeah. So, obviously, the Bryce Young pick that I had is going to give me the first pick. Tanner will be second, and then Derbs, and then you, Brady.
All right.
All right.
So, if Micah over there is ready. I'm going back to the Cleveland Browns well as they are changing their quarterback, so I can go there again. I'm going to take the rookie against my Vikings defense, which hopefully shows up this week. So I will take Dylan Gabriel.
Very good. Very good. I have not taken Jake Browning yet, have I?
You have not taken Jake Browning yet.
God, I'm on the clock. I just asked the question.
You taking Jake Browning?
Give me Jalen Hurts. I'm going to get one of those quarterbacks out of the way.
Whoa.
I'm going to take Jalen Hurts against the Broncos defense. I don't think Jalen has a good day
against the Broncos. I think he's offended. That really hurts.
Yep.
So, yeah. Derbs, you are on the clock.
I have to follow that?
Yeah.
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 How do I possibly live up to that?
I don't. Well, he should play the button. He's not hitting the button now.
Boy, this is a
pretty happy with
it's a tough go right now.
Yeah, it's a tough scene in here.
I'm going to go off the board, as I always do here, and it's a guy that I like a lot. But give me Baker Mayfield this week. Going up to Seattle, tough place to play. I just think that's one of the matchup things that we dictated there.
Seattle is a team that they put more pressure on the quarterback only rushing four than any other team in the NFL. So it's a good pick and a tough place to play.
That's yes, a good pick.
I noticed you guys didn't say a good pick about mine with Jalen Hurts. So,
well, no, I actually was considering that pick, but
they hurt your feelings.
That thanks, sir. Or screeching halt there. I was considering that.
Yeah,
but
I probably should have gone to Jake Browning, but something like he can't possibly be that bad that many games in a row. Detroit defense
is a Washington quarterback.
That is true. The tutelage was not great from Washington. So, but yeah, I feel good about Jalen Hurts. Thanks for the confirmation, guys.
You're welcome.
Do you guys know who Warren Moon is?
I do. Let me make my pick. Michael, please cue the thing.
You were so bad at your job. This is seamless back here.
God. Give me Geno Smith for the Las Vegas Raiders going up against the Colts this weekend.
That's a good one. That was one that was on my list there as well. So we've got Mike, who you had?
I have Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel. I'm taking Jalen Hurts.
Baker Mayfield.
And Geno Smith.
And Geno Smith.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about winning this week.
What?
The quarterback toilet bowl. 0-8 in the second half against the Tampa Bay. Like, the Eagles are a good team, but I don't know if Jalen's against the secondary the Broncos have. I'm defending my pick, which means probably not a great pick, but
I'm rooting for you this week.
I just got Michael
on your backside.
Can I change? Can I cut my pick now that Mike is on my side? It's not a good place to be.
Stuck with him.
No.
Yeah, he's your guy.
I'm excited to have you guys back for Rocky Mountain College Kickoff today, I will say that.
Yeah, coming up at 2 o'clock.
It
we'll share some laughs
week.
And some joy.
It was lonely last week.
Very empty in here with
me and Derbs.
Yeah.
We were on the same side of everything, too, so we couldn't even argue with each other.
Pretty rough weekend of picks.
Yeah. How'd you do on the picks last week, Mike?
0-4.
We were 1-3. 2-2 led last week.
You're welcome.
Sent those to you from the airport just about to get on a plane. So.
Well, and I was, you know, my kid just had his tonsils removed, and I'm like, oh, crap, I have to make picks, and it was a scary situation.
Well, the wind was blown out of the east for me. So that's
I sent some picks from a different state once, but I never got these reasons.
Yeah, that's true. Where is the – I'm trying to look at the – what's the overall record right now?
Three of us are 9-10, and Mike, Brady, and I are 9-10, and Dustin's 11-8.
Well, pretty close still, at least.
We're all pretty bad.
Yeah. We'll see if we
about
can –
about average, everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Everywhere.
But in fairness, the dude that should be leading is the guy that should – so – that makes it look good for the station because Derbs is our resident expert on the picks, so he should be leading. There's pressure on Derbs everywhere.
There is a lot more pressure. I will take all full responsibility.
I don't make a big deal about my picks at all.
No.
So we got those coming up a little bit later on. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
They're on Friday?
Except for when they're on Thursday or rare occasion where it's a Monday game. Or Friday.
I had no idea
your pick. I'm off Friday, then you make them on Thursday.
And Wednesday, too. You made a pick on a Wednesday.
I've done that before.
As well on there. Well, I just didn't know because you don't make a big deal out of it.
No, I don't. I tend not to.
Yeah, because all the pressure's on Derbs.
Mm-hmm.
All the pressure's on Derbs.
Responsibility this way.
Responsibility. New segment coming up, too, with our picks sponsorship situation, too. Yeah. I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. If you're hungry, tune in. You got to be hungry.
Can we promote it?
Yeah.
Papa John's, $7.99, one topping large pizza when you use code KFKA at any Northern Colorado Papa John's.
Solid deal. Easy to use. Pick it up on your way home. Easy peasy.
Watch the
Rams tonight.
How many different locations is it?
I think there's 6 in Northern Colorado.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Carry out pizza.
Yeah, I think it's Longmont up towards us.
Awesome. All right, great pizza, obviously. So guys, I'm looking forward to catching up with you more in detail a little bit later on, and I'm sure we're going to have some Dwight Yoakam.
There better be. He did a pretty good job of it last week, Mike, when you guys were gone.
Good job, Mike.
He hit him several times.
Yeah.
We should give him a playlist here in the next 45 minutes.
Or just replace him.
Giving him a playlist seems easier, I think.
You had Conlon back here earlier. Like, how close?
No, but you notice he left early.
Yeah. If you were sitting back there?
It could have been me. It could have been Michael. I don't know. We drive him away. We tend to. I think Mike's like my 18th producer, so.
Well, Brady,
he produced the morning show for all of 6 months.
Like, so, oh,
it was kind of like one of those where, hey, if you're not married at 60 and I'm not married at 60, what do you think kind of deal? And after 14 producers went the way of the samurai, we decided, what the heck, Mike? Let's make a go of this thing. You and me against the world. You were my first choice after pass.
Okay.
20 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. It's Football Friday, presented by the one and only Big City Roadhouse. We'll be right back.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310kfka.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Hopefully the Broncos have a little lightning and thunder this weekend against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm talking about the 1-2 punch running back combo, J.K. Dobbins and R.J. Harvey. Got to see a little bit more of that last week, and I'm good with seeing a whole heck of a lot more. Bo Nix threw it way too many times, 42 times for him, but also several other designed passes that Bo Nix took off and ran in. So Sean Payton can't help himself.
Dobby and Harvey. That's the answer. Dobby and Harvey.
Dobby and Harvey. You know, I'd like to see what this Evan Engram thing is. You know, that hasn't really showed up much at all this season. And it's four weeks in, but Mike, this was one of the biggest concerns for Denver this year, or you know, last year too, was the lack of production on the tight end side of the ball, or on the tight end side of things, including, you know, running back was big too. And they addressed that, but again, haven't been using the running backs that great, save for last week. And even then, I think I was left wanting a lot more. Right now on the season, Mike, I mean, the numbers for Denver on the tight end side of things, Evan Engram has 8 receptions for 62 yards. He's the leading tight end for Denver. 8 receptions for 62 yards. Again, it's not like the worst thing in the world, but his career's kind of been down a little bit. Injuries kind of hurting him too. Adam Trautman has 6 receptions for 47 yards. And then Lucas Kroll has 2 receptions for 15 yards. I mean, we're kind of on pace to see a very similar situation that we saw last year with the tight end play. So I want to see what this thing is. You know, that was Sean Payton, Mike. He's going to start getting in the dangerous territory here for Broncos fans where it's like he says a lot of things. He says a lot of the right things. And then when you watch him coach, he doesn't – all the things that he said in the offseason, oh, we're going to have this joker position, really unique. Evan Engram's going to be that guy. Oh, we got J.K. Dobbins. We're drafting R.J. Harvey. We're going to be running the heck out of the football. And not necessarily – he didn't necessarily say that, but – that was implied when you guys go and make those kind of moves in the offseason, when you take R.J. Harvey with the second round pick, and when you go out and sign J.K. Dobbins, who's had a history, an injury, pretty significant injury history, you're taking a chance there. And then when you get those guys, we're not actually seeing the carries. You're not seeing the dedication to the run game. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that. There's just a bunch. I just don't feel like we've grasped offensively what this offense, what this team is. And we've seen a lot of Bo Nix. And I do think that you can get too much of that, of a good thing or what you're hoping to be a good thing. I just want Sean to kind of get out of his own way on this and organically set up a Bo Nix progression type of thing. because forcing the issue and just throwing the ball 42 times and designing close to 47 different pass plays when you're running 16 times with Dobbins and 14 times with Harvey, I got to see that more. But again, based off the last game we saw Denver play, everything looked as close to perfect as you can get. And we can say it till we're blue in the face, that's against a bad Bengals team. Right now, the Broncos have a reputation under Sean Payton of they're good enough to beat bad teams. They're good enough to beat teams they're supposed to beat. But then again, they were supposed to beat the Colts, and that didn't happen. I feel like it's there. Like this team could be there, could be maybe even a contending type team. And I like the talent on this roster. I look at the wide receivers. I don't look and say, oh, they have somebody that's just purely great, but they're deep. But you got to use your run game to set all of this up. And this Eagles team is interesting. We did this with our trivia question earlier. The Eagles are seventh in points per game, but they're middle to bottom in so many of the other significant stat categories in the NFL. Part of the reasons, though, I mean, some of those points, one was a blocked field goal for a touchdown. Another was a blocked punt for a touchdown. This team does take advantage of the turnovers it gets, which, you know, it's a very well-coached, very smart football team. They allow, you know, right now they've only ran for 113 rush yards per game. That's with Saquon Barkley on this roster, a guy that just absolutely destroyed it last year. He was amazing. And none of that has popped yet for Philly. But you have they've had two blocked field goals. They had two against the Rams, and then they had the one blocked punt against the Bucks, which they took back for a touchdown. So those numbers are certainly kind of inflating that point scored and all of that. But this is still top to bottom. Philadelphia's roster is very good. Some of the questions I had about the Eagles to start the season is how they would use Saquon Barkley, because he had an NFL high 345 regular season carries last season, 500 touches, including the playoffs. So I wondered if maybe they were going to back off some of his carries this year, and you would see some of that production falter a bit. But where's the step up? And it's hard to really knock this team that's undefeated and undefeated against really good football teams. But that was one of the questions going on. Are they going to pass more? You know, is this going to be more of a Jalen Hurts offense? Last year, I think we all agree it was Saquon Barkley that made the major difference with this team. But their receivers are certainly studs. But that's what we're wanting to see more of, too. Jalen Hurts is 70 of 101, 609 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, no picks. It's also one of the big points, too. They're careful with the football. I on one end, Mike, I have a terrible feeling that this is the game that Philadelphia stops screwing around, and it's like everything starts to pop. Saquon Barkley goes for over 100 yards. You see Jalen Hurts pass for 250, and A.J. Brown is getting, you know, close to 100 yards and touchdown. And you start to see some of those things that were obvious last year in obvious ways that they were winning. You could point to a lot of those stars, but this is – then there's the positive part for the Broncos where I'm like, maybe they get found out. Maybe they're blocking field goals and they're blocking punts, and that's changing the whole trajectory of game, certainly against the Rams. And that's what's ultimately – you know, leading us down the Eagles being undefeated. So, I don't know. At the beginning of the week, I kept saying things like, the Eagles that's a daunting task. That's a big task coming up. But then I watched last night's game. The 49ers are fairly significant underdogs in that game against the Rams with all of the injuries that they have. And yet they find a way to win. It's the NFL is a crazy beast, man. I mean, did you think the Giants were going to beat the Chargers last week? this is a league that sets itself up for a game like this where the Broncos are slight underdogs and pulling off something crazy. So we got our picks coming up. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. So we'll hit that. Coming up next, we're going to do the pressure cooker. We're going to bring that back and take a look at this weekend's games. Who's feeling the pressure the most? Certainly, it goes without saying, it's a lot about tonight for the Colorado State Rams. It has certainly gone south there this season, and a very important season for the Rams, and now they got to try to win on the road against an interesting San Diego State team. 35 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
It's too much for my brain. It's got me under pressure.
All right, pressure time. Starting to get into, and some teams have obviously already played conference games and such, but we're really starting to get into that where all the teams that we're talking about, well, save for Air Force, I guess, are feeling some sort of pressure here to try to make something of their season. Michael, I don't think there's any debate here who's in the pressure cooker the most this weekend. It's not the Broncos. It's not the Wyoming Cowboys against UNLV. It's not Air Force against Navy, although they would really like to win. And UNC's off this week. Colorado's a pretty close second, but this is 100% about Colorado State and Jay Norvell.
Yeah, I would say he is not only on the pressure cooker. He is under, and well, he's inside.
He's in it. He's in it right now.
He's being cooked.
He's trying, Matt Mummy, get me out of here. On this, what happens if it works tonight? What happens if Matt Mummy calls a phenomenal game and the Rams go beat Santiago State 30-17? What happens?
Then Jay Norvell saves his job. He never calls a play for CSU ever again. And Matt Mummy has something on his resume in case he wants to be, you know, head coach of the University of Nobody in the future. He can put that on his resume.
Whoa. Like, you don't think Matt Mummy, the son of Air Raid, Hal Mummy's child, wouldn't be able to go coach somewhere in college football?
I mean, he's not going to LSU right off the bat.
What if the Rams start averaging 30 points a game and it's Matt Mummy calling the plays? He's really spreading his wings. He's flexing his muscles, and suddenly it's like, whoa, we got an offensive genius right there. I mean, it's not likely, but it's possible.
Well, we're not in La La Land here.
Well, I think it's a tough situation for Jay, because as soon as Jackson Brissot came in, it was, oh, wow, he's moving the ball down the field. Why did it take so long to do this? Why did it take you so long to make a quarterback change? So what was a positive, at least for one game, for half of a game or a quarter of a game, kind of was still perceived as a negative, because, for one, you lost, and you went for two, and that was a strange situation. But it was also like, what took you so long? Had you made this decision sooner, we might have beat UNC. Well, might have actually beat UNC. Might have beat UTSA. I don't know. I the Washington State game, if Rams fans, if that doesn't have you scared, it should, because that's maybe what this team is. This isn't a knock on Matt Mummy. He's a friend of mine, and I've had him on the show a few times. He's sensational to talk to. If he ever quits, I would love to have him do a radio show here. I just don't know if the Rams have the dogs to carry out whatever it is they're trying to do. I mean, we had a text earlier. It's like, make sure Dupree gets the ball like 37 times. Yeah. You just like the Broncos, this is a strength for you This is your strength. Jackson Warren's out. I mean, you're having some injuries on that line with Morley being out, too. That's a big deal. This is a situation where I am sticking with the run. I am not going to go crazy in the pass game. I am not going to put a ton of trust in Jackson Brissot, even though I'm saying all the right things. I'm being very careful here. I think it's CSU winning, certainly, in the pressure cooker. They're number one, 100%. And then, Mike, it's CU, right? I mean, the Broncos, it's the NFL. They have the luxury. It's a long season, all that stuff. But I'm looking at Colorado. You're 2-3. You're 0-2 in conference play. A loss to TCU, Michael, pretty much mathematically eliminates you, right, from going to the Big 12 championship game, wouldn't you say?
I'm looking at their schedule, and they're already mathematically eliminated.
Yeah.
I know they have it.
You can't
play the games, but I'm cynically eliminating them already.
I mean, to be in the conference championship game, wouldn't you say on average the number one team has one or two, maybe one at max, two losses in the conference, and then the second team, 2-3 max? Is that fair to say? And a lot of times, it's three's being kind of nice, generous, I guess. But if CU's already at 2, and then they lose to TCU, they'll be at 3, and you got Iowa State, who's undefeated. Arizona State's undefeated in the conference. And again, these are early, but Arizona State's 2-0. Iowa State's 2-0.
But the number one and the number two usually have the number one, the top three, four coaches, and the top 2-3 rosters.
Mm-hmm.
CU doesn't have that.
No. Well, Coach Prime told us at the beginning of the season this is a better roster than last year. It's a problem with saying so many things. People hold you to that. And then they question your judgment. I've done that a million times on this show. I've said things on career judgment. Why did you think that team was going to win? Just ask Buffs fans. My judgment's been questioned a lot. I'm not a head coach, though. So when you say in the offseason, hey, I know we lost Shedeur Sanders, and I know we lost Travis Hunter and Jimmy Horn Jr. and a bunch of dudes, this is the best roster we've had. Oh, and you're worse. You're 2-3 at this point. And it's not looking good against the idea of going to Texas to take on TCU. 13.5 point underdogs in this game. So I think the Buffs are second in our pressure cooker, Mike. And then, Faith saying, I think if it works tonight, he's more exposed to the fact that he is not right for the job. That's what's scary about it, right? You make a decision to say, you're my play caller now. I don't think that John Weber sits down and goes, well, wait a second. Once you made him the play caller, you started winning. Should Mummy be the coach? No. Coaches do a bazillion times, a lot more things than call plays. And it's their job to evaluate themselves, too. And if they think, I've got too much going on, I need to be able to focus on other things and managing the game more, I want you to be my guy calling plays that we design. And I get that. Brohard tried to, whatever it was that was, you know, was like, you know, they come up with plays and during the week and all. Yes, obviously. But the question is, who's actually calling the play that they think is the right play in that situation? I don't necessarily think it would be that much of an indictment on him, but it could be, because it could be like, why didn't you make this decision sooner? If this was the fix, I'm questioning your judgment a little bit. So, all right, Mike, I think the real pressure, like, is on those two teams. Wyoming, UNLV is undefeated. I don't know that a lot of people were expecting much more than a shot at a potential bowl game for Wyoming, let alone being, at this point, an undefeated UNLV team. Yes, Mike?
Hypothetical. And I think I know your answer, but I'm just curious to hear it out loud. If UNC was playing this week, would they be anywhere near the pressure cooker?
No. I mean, they've taken pressure off of themselves, I think. They've already won two games, and they're competitive in every game. Unless you want them to win the Big Sky Conference, then yeah.
I don't think they will, but their next game is against number 15 or 12, Idaho. Their website's a little weird, a little hard to understand. It says 15/12. Then they have Sacramento State. And then they have number 7, UC Davis.
Yeah.
That's a tough schedule coming up.
It's a nice week off for them because they have a lot of injuries. They have a lot of dudes banged up that are not season-ending injuries, but guys that need some rest. All right, the picks, Mike. The picks are coming up next. The picks, they're on life support here. We need a big, big weekend. I'm 11-13 on the picks. We got to get back over 500. Those are coming up next. It's the whole show on a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse.
Fall is nearly here, and that means football is on KFKA. Preps, college, pros, and the Broncos. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
This is what it's all about, Mike. If I struggle this weekend, we fall into a hole that is going to be very difficult to climb out of. I'm 11-13 on my picks.
Just pick the Broncos every week.
That'd only be one game. I need more.
That's a guaranteed win.
The UNC Bears are off this week. Let's go Air Force at Navy. I love Air Force's offense. They're fun to watch, but they can't stop anybody. They're 12.5 point dogs against Navy. Navy's good. I think they're undefeated. I'm going to say, they keep burning me. Air Force is the one that burns me right now. I'm going to go Air Force plus the 12.5. I'm going to take the points. UNLV at Wyoming. UNLV is a 3.5 point dog. I ain't buying it. I'm not buying it from UNLV. They're 4-0, but they're playing not great teams. Wyoming wins outright. I'm not taking the cover. Wyoming wins outright. Colorado and TCU. This isn't it. I thought Brian Howell referencing Coach Prime's comments, kind of like, it is what it is at this point. Yeah. TCU's a 13.5 point favorite. That's two touchdowns. I like TCU to cover that. Colorado State and San Diego State. This could be a really boring, awful game on a Friday night, but I like Friday night football, and I will be tuning in to a San Diego State win and cover -6.5. I like San Diego State in this one, unfortunately. Hate to say it. What'd I miss? Broncos, Philadelphia. I'll take the points. Broncos plus 3.5. And those are the picks. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.